Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Official Iranian radio, somewhat similar to PBS in the United States, recently ran a lengthy series on the imminent appearance of the Mahdi, who will defeat Islam's enemies and impose Islamic Shiite rule over the entire world. Notice Shiite rule. In fact, Iran is called a Shiite republic. They even speculated on specific dates the Mahdi will appear. Here's a direct quote from one of the programs. Be joyous, my heart. Miracles of the Messiah will soon be here. They went on to say that the coming of the 12th Iman, or Mahdi, will mark the end of liberal democratic civilization. From that point on, liberal democratic civilization will only be found in history museums. You might say, so what? Christian preachers have been proclaiming the imminent return of Jesus for centuries. But there's a vast difference between what the peoples of the Islamic world believe and what nominally professing Christians believe. The Islamic world literally believes that the appearance of the Mahdi is near, and what is more, they believe they can hasten his return. Now you might say some Christians believe the same thing, that if the gospel is preached to all the world as a witness, then the end will come, and perhaps that is an element or a dimension of it. And also, dominion theologists believe that the world must be conquered in the name of Christianity before Christ can come, that Christ can't come back to a world of chaos and confusion, whereas the Muslim world and many Christians believe that because of the chaos and confusion that is going to be extant upon the face of the earth, that Christ must return, as it says Matthew 24, that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived, and also, unless the time is cut short, there should be no flesh saved alive. But one of the main differences between the peoples of Islam and the so-called Christian nations is the fact that 90%+ of many of the nations in the Middle East and Near East are Muslim. This means that church and state are inextricably linked together. That's sort of like saying you can't have one without the other, and even though there might be a quasi-separation of church and state, religion still dominates every aspect of their lives. In fact, Iran proudly proclaims itself a Shiite republic. This week, Iran announced that the deadline for declaring one's candidacy for president had ended. Several persons have declared that they're running for president in Iran, trying to unseat Ahmadinejad, but they are all Shiites. It is difficult for Americans to understand a homogeneous population in which every facet of their lives is linked to their religious beliefs. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can readily discern that a vast chasm exists between the worldview of Christians and that of the Islamic world. The Islamic world is filled with a sense of urgency and fervency. This sense of urgency and fervency creates a kind of religious frenzy that Americans don't seem to understand. For example, during the past several days, Muslims have been celebrating Ashura. Ashura literally means 10th in Arabic. Ashura falls on the 10th day of the Muslim month of Muharram. It's M-U-H-A-R-R-E-M, Muharram. This day marks the anniversary of the Battle of Karbala, which resulted in martyrdom of Hussein ibn Ali, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. This battle was between the armies of a Sunni caliph named Umayyad Caliph Yazid I. The Shiites considered Hussein, that is the grandson of Muhammad, to be the rightful heir to the Prophet Muhammad. On the other hand, Yazid I was the son of Muawiyah, who was appointed governor of Syria by Umar, the second caliph of the Sunnis. So they, the Sunnis, thought that Yazid I was in the line of succession with regard to how the Sunnis viewed it. We should note here that after the death of Muhammad, a bitter argument ensued among the followers of Muhammad as to who would be his successor. One group, the Sunnis, believed his successor should be appointed by the community, while another group, the Shias, believed that the successor must be a direct descendant of Muhammad. This bitter disagreement over succession has continued from that time to the present. Sunnis and Shias have been killing each other for 1,300 years. Sunni extremists have killed dozens of Shias in recent days as they marched toward various mosques in celebrating Ashura. In fact, much of the blood that is being spilled in Iraq today stems from the bitter division between these two sects of Islam that dates back for centuries. Shias believe that the Battle of Karbala in 680 AD was between the forces of good and evil. Imam Hussein, grandson of Muhammad, represented good, while the Sunni Caliph Yazid I represented evil. Many Shias make pilgrimages on Ashura in the Mashhad al-Husan, the shrine in Karbala. This shrine is in Karbala, Iraq, and it is traditionally held to be Hussein's tomb. Shias also express mourning by thumping their chest and crying after listening to speeches on how Hussein and his family were martyred. This is intended to connect them with Hussein's suffering and death. Hussein's martyrdom is widely interpreted by Shias as a symbol of the struggle against injustice, tyranny, and oppression. To express remorse for not saving Imam Hussein during the Battle of Karbala in 680, thousands pour into the streets while flaying themselves with chains or slicing the front of their scalps with swords and knives. And with blood streaming from their heads and backs, men of all ages, dressed in white, walk toward the tomb of Imam Hussein from dawn until they reach. Ali Muhammad, age 30, who had cut his head with a sword, stated, quote, "This is the least we can do for Imam Hussein, who sacrificed himself with his family to save the real religion." End of quote. Then he went on to say, quote, "We do not feel pain. In fact, we feel we are one with Imam Hussein." End of quote. You and I may not understand this kind of religious fervor and simply dismiss it as fanatical. But if we're going to remotely understand the depth of the conviction of the forces of Islam, we must come to realize that what we're engaged in is a much different war than any war that the Western world has ever fought. The religious fervor is reaching a boiling point in Iran under the leadership and raucous rhetoric of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad is urging Iranians to prepare for the Mahdi by turning the country into a mighty and advanced Islamic society and by avoiding the excesses of the West. According to an Iranian student news agency, in a recent report, Ahmadinejad sent a greeting to world Christians for the coming New Year, stating that he expects both Jesus and the Mahdi to return and wipe away oppression. They believe that Jesus was a prophet and he will play a secondary. You and I may not understand this kind of religious fervor and simply dismiss it as fanatical. But if we're going to remotely understand the depth of the conviction of the forces of Islam, we must come to realize that this is a much different war than any war that the Western world has ever engaged in. This religious fervor is reaching a boiling point in Iran under the leadership and raucous rhetoric of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. According to an Iranian student news agency report, quote, Ahmadinejad sent a greeting to the world's Christians for the coming New Year, stating that he expects both Jesus and the Mahdi to return and wipe away oppression. Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet and that he will return from heaven and be sort of a second lieutenant under the Imam when he returns. Ahmadinejad went on to say, I wish all the Christians a very happy New Year. And I wish to ask them a question as well. My one question for Christians is, what would Jesus do if he were present in the world today? What would he do before some of the oppressive powers of the world who are in fact residing in Christian countries? Which powers would he revive and which of them would he destroy? Asked the Iranian leader. If Jesus were present today, he asked, who would be facing him and who would he be following? Western leaders are very concerned with Ahmadinejad's obsession with the return of the 12th Imam, because many leaders in the West believe, including the current Bush administration, that Iran has the intentions of producing nuclear weapons with their nuclear program. In a speech to the UN in New York last September, some Iranians believe, some of the religious figures believe, that they saw a halo over Ahmadinejad's head during his speech. One onlooker told Ahmadinejad that when you began with the words, "In the name of Allah, I saw light coming surrounding you and protecting you to the end." Ahmadinejad agreed that he sensed the same thing. Ahmadinejad went on to say, quote, "I felt it myself. I felt that the atmosphere suddenly changed, and for those 27 or 28 minutes, all the leaders of the world did not blink. When I say they didn't move an eyelid, I'm not exaggerating. They were looking as if a hand was holding them there and had just opened their eyes." In a November the 16th, 2006 speech in Tehran, he stated that his main mission, he believes that he is on a divine mission, and that mission is to, quote, "pave the path for the glorious reappearance of Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance," end of quote. You contrast this with what President Bush stated in the State of the Union message, in which he stated that the calling of our time is to take freedom and democracy to the world. One leader appeals to a spiritual ideology, and another one to a political ideology. However, both support a strong military to achieve their goals. Iran is arming itself as rapidly as it can with all the sophisticated weapons that it can possibly buy or garner in any way. Russia is selling missiles to them. China is also selling military hardware to them. And they are in pursuit of nuclear power, saying it's for peaceful use only. But Western leaders are not convinced. Ahmadinejad is urging Iranians to prepare for the coming of the Mahdi by turning the country into a mighty and advanced Islamic society. So you see here that the pursuit of nuclear power, nuclear weapons, has a religious dimension even to that, because they want to be able to boast that they are the greatest military power on the face of the earth. They have the most sophisticated, intelligent people on the face of the earth, and that their technology surpasses that of all other nations. And he said, once again, turn the country into a mighty advanced Islamic society by avoiding the corruption and excesses of the West. In simple language, the Islamic world is saying, God is on our side because we are more righteous than the peoples of the Western world. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the messianic expectations that are extant around the world today. If you would really like to understand world affairs and what is going on in our world today, then you need to call for our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, because the only way that you will ever really understand what is going on and what is going to take place in the near future is through the pages of your Bible, and this booklet will help you. It will serve as an aid to help you come to understand the Bible and prophecy so that you can make sense of it. So all you have to do to receive this free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5149. 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And at the same time, we will send you a free booklet titled, What is Your Destiny? This book will reveal to you through the pages of the Bible who God is, what is His purpose, who man is, and what is His purpose. In other words, why you were born, why you draw breath. So both of these booklets can be yours, free of charge, no follow-up, no one will call on you, and we do not ask for money. All you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number, once again, is 1-888-886-5614. That's 1-888-886-5614. And now back to world news and prophecy. As we have seen in the first segment of our program, the Shiites, especially in Iran, are filled with messianic expectations and fervor. According to the Shiites, the 12th Iman disappeared as a child in the year 1941. When he returns, they believe he will reign on earth for 7 years before bringing about a final judgment and the end of the world. All Iran is buzzing about the Mahdi, the 12th Iman, and the role Iran and Ahmadinejad are playing in his anticipated return. There's a new Messiah hotline. There are news agencies especially devoted to the latest developments. You can call the hotline and get an update. Ali Lari, a cleric at the Bright Future Institute in Iran's religious center of Qom, states, quote, people are anxious to know when and how he will rise, what they must do to receive this worldwide salvation. The timing is not clear, he says, but the conditions are more specific. There is a saying, when the students are ready, the teacher will come. End of quote. What does all of this mean for you and me? One of the things that speaks loud and clear to me is the fact that the world is facing the greatest crisis in human history. Everywhere you want to turn on the face of the earth, from the unrest and domestic disputes and other battles that are being waged domestically here in the United States over domestic policy to foreign policy to the Korean Peninsula, where you have North and South Korea at odds with one another, where you have China becoming the world's greatest economic power, seeking to unseat the United States. Do you go into Afghanistan? You go to Iran, Iraq, to the Middle East? You go all over the world, to Israel, to the Palestinians. What you'll find is chaos and confusion, war and rumors of war, and all kind of people that are upset over so many various issues. And you go to the continent of Africa, where people are starving to death and dying with various deadly diseases. So one of the things that speaks loud and clear to me in all of the things we see today, that the world is facing the greatest crisis in human history. The divisions that are extant in the world today are driven by powerful spiritual forces that seem foreign to us. Americans have become thoroughly secularized and have forgotten that Satan the devil continues to walk up and down on the face of the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Americans are so busy employing human reasoning based on faulty premises that they will never come to the truth. As the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, there are many truths out there, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The greatest truths are, who is God, what is God, what is His purpose, who is man, and what is His purpose. And the great plan of salvation that God has for all human beings, regardless of race, creed, color. Of course, they'll have to change their creed, but God is not a respecter of persons, and that through Jesus Christ you can become a son of God and eventually be resurrected as a glorious, radiant spirit being in the kingdom of God. Today we see our peoples burying their heads in the sand, pulling down the shades over their minds and hearts, and willingly blinding themselves to the reality of our time. These are the most critical, crucial times once again in human history. All things are not going to continue as from the beginning. We see politicians trying to gain political ground on every issue of the day. Some say we need to put pressure on the Iraqi government to take responsibility for the security of its people and bring our troops home, open up a dialogue with the leaders of Iran, Syria, and neighboring nations. And that will solve the problem. Others say things will fall apart if we just cut and run. The region will fall into the hands of the terrorists, and that will further threaten the security of the United States. But no one seems to really understand the spiritual forces that are driving the various factions that are extant around the face of the earth. We tend to forget that the age-old battle from the Garden of Eden to the present day centers on who will rule in your life, and the various political and religious factions that are warring today, really their ultimate goal is to rule the world. As we noted in the first segment of our program, the recently radio series that ran in Iran on official Iranian radio stated that they are looking for the imminent appearance of the Mahdi, who will defeat Islam's enemies and impose Islamic Shiite rule over the whole world. When all is said and done, from the Garden of Eden to the present day, the question still remains, who will rule in your life? And when all is said and done, there are only two choices. You can choose to be governed by God or by the forces of evil that are inspired by Satan the devil. Virtually every religion on the face of the earth has been twisted and perverted to the point that it is most difficult for people to try to sort out truth from fiction and fable. Many people have now made God into their own image, taking a little of this and that from various religions to justify their own lifestyles. But for the most part, most people of the Western world are just wandering around with no certain worldview and no sense of purpose and mission for their lives. If there is no authority that we can look to for revealed knowledge as to how we're to conduct our lives, then we're left with human reasoning. And sadly, most people don't even use their minds to try to sort out the great questions of life. They simply sort of soak up a little of this and that from their parents and peers. If there is a God, and if God is love, then he must have a way of communicating to us who he is, what he is, and what his purpose is, and also revealing to us why we were born. The only place to go for this understanding is the Bible. The scriptures will show you why you were born. The scripture will show you the very purpose of human existence. And the Bible will show you what lies ahead for all humankind. The Bible is filled with messianic expectations. And Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth and establish his kingdom. No, it won't be a Shiite kingdom. No, it won't be a Jewish kingdom. It won't be any kind of ism kingdom. It will be the kingdom of God established by God and Christ with the saints. Jesus Christ is going to put down the forces of evil, and there will be peace on earth, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All of the world's major religions are looking for a great messianic figure to appear on the world scene and usher in a new age of peace and goodwill toward all men. The Buddhists are looking for the fifth Buddha. The Hindus are looking for Krishna. The Muslims are looking for the Mahdi. The Jews are looking for the Messiah. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and they're looking for a mere human being. The New Agers are looking for Lord Maitreya, and Christians are looking for the return of Jesus Christ. The nations are going to continue in a mad pursuit of trying to establish their religion or ideology on the sons of men. And they're arming themselves to the hilt at every opportunity that they can possibly receive. But never forget that Satan the devil is the god of this present evil world, and his goal is to deceive humankind into worshiping him. Satan will work through a powerful political system and charismatic figure known as the beast and false prophet, for the purpose of getting the world to worship him. And as Jesus Christ says in Matthew 24, that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. This false system will deceive the world into believing that this pseudo-Messiah is really Jesus Christ. He will sit in the temple of God proclaiming that he is God, according to the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3, 4. But note how the Apostle John describes this one, showing that Satan is the one that is really behind it. This is in Revelation 13, verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were the feet of a bear, his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and he, the dragon, and the dragon is identified as Satan the devil, gave him his power, his seat, and authority. And then he goes on to say that he was given power to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Is your name in the Lamb's book of life? If it is not in it at that time, you will be deceived. The only way that you can come to know Jesus Christ the Messiah, the true Messiah, and be filled with the true, real messianic expectation is to open the pages of your Bible, read it for yourself, or read material written by someone who knows the truth of the Bible. If the Bible is not true, then we are left to the machinations of men to solve our problems. Then, if that is the case, we are of all men without hope in this world, and there is surely no hope for life after death. So will you open the pages of your Bible and come to the knowledge of the truth, so you won't be deceived by any of the religious imposters who lie in wait to deceive? And be sure to be tuned to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you can understand Bible prophecy, one booklet, and What is Your Destiny? Another booklet will be sent to you free of charge simply by calling our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be listening at this same time next week for World News and Prophecy.